Hey, Browns fans, it's time to gear up for a pain-free 2022 NFL season for your Cleveland Browns with new friends of the show, Buckeye Law Group. If you've been injured in a car accident, a slip and fall, a work accident, or even if you've been buried into the ground by Myles Garrett or stiff-armed by Nick Chubb, you need to call Buckeye Law Group today at 1-800-411-PAIN. Their attorneys will fight for the money you deserve. Buckeye Law Group's attorneys have recovered over $1 billion for their clients throughout the entire country. So don't make the mistake of calling just any other attorney. Call attorneys you can trust, and best of all, they're Browns fans just like you. Call our friends from Buckeye Law Group at 1-800-411-PAIN. After 911, call 411. That's 1-800-411-PAIN. 1-800-411-7246. That's Buckeye Law Group, located at 1300 East 9th Street, Suite 1210 in Cleveland, Ohio. Buckeye Law Group, proud fans of the Cleveland Browns just like you.
Hey, Browns fans, when I come to Cleveland and it's a Monday night, I want to see a win. And guess what? I did. Let's go, Browns, and let's kick this off because I'm here live. Go, Brownies. Woo, 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 woo.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, John Nye, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to a very special 150th episode of the Dogs Podcast. If you want to get your intro on the show, drive to Dover, Ohio. Come into the studio. Just kidding. If you want to get your intro on the show, head to thedogspodcast.com. Tap leave voicemail on the drop-down menu. We need more intros, and we need your voicemail. So make sure you guys keep leaving us plenty. Big win last night for the Browns over the Bengals. I don't think a lot of people were expecting it. I know I was one of those people that didn't see it going well, at least on one side of the ball. Browns shocked the world. We're going to give you all our thoughts, plus we got a bunch of voicemails to get to. Before we do that, I want to remind you to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Make sure you tap the notification bell so you never miss a new episode. If you prefer to just listen to the podcast, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Lastly, if you're looking for more Dogs content, head to jointhedogs.com. Become an official Dog Pack member on the Patreon page. You can tell I took a week off from doing an episode because I'm having a hard time getting through the intro. The Patreon's super fun. Browns fans from all over the world. Kenny, obviously, from Canada, all the way down here in Dover, Ohio today, doing an episode with us. Coolest part about starting the podcast is just meeting all the Browns fans from all over the world. And the Patreon's kind of where we all gather. We got people from San Diego all the way out to Scotland in there. It's a ton of fun for everybody involved. You get an extra episode every week. We have fantasy leagues for everybody involved. It's just good access. There's a private Discord. So anytime you want to talk Browns, there's 49 people there to talk Browns with you. So jointhedogs.com. Become an official Dog Pack member on our Patreon page. So, like I said, big win for the Browns last night over the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals, they just can't beat the Browns. Joe Burrow's never beat the Browns. 32-13 win. The Browns finally looked like the Browns team that we expected to see all year long. Offense, defense, special teams was still a couple hiccups. But overall, in all three phases of the game, other than the field goal that got blocked, we made our extra points, we made our field goals, all that good stuff. So, total team effort. The stars showed up. Nick Chubb had a great game. Myles Garrett had a great game. Amari Cooper had a great game. That's what you need in a must-win situation, prime time in front of the nation. Just an awesome win for the Browns. I'm going to throw it to Kenny here. We got Kenny in studio. What did you think of the game? I know you were there last night.
Yeah, we had a blast. It was great to see, number one, the defense tackling. We haven't seen that much this year. It's been tough to watch that defense. They really showed up. Getting, I think, was it five sacks?
I think so, yeah.
Five sacks on Burrow, a team that gives up sacks. Like, we did kind of what we were supposed to do. And seeing the offense, like, Jacoby has come under a lot of scrutiny lately. He got that deep ball going, that intermediate passing game. I mean, I still would like to see a little bit more of a short passing game. We can get into that a little bit later. And then we did what we're supposed to do. We run Nick Chubb at the times we were supposed to. And I think when people say, hey, you know what? We don't run enough. I think what they're really meaning to say is, like, we don't run at the right opportunities. Mm-hmm. I'm not padding stats like late in the, you know, when we're like, you know, 3rd and 19 or whatever. But we were really happy. It was a great vibe. I mean, the Monday night vibe, like, man, when you come down from 8 hours, you want to see a win. But on a Monday night, like, it's that much more sweet when you win the way you did.
Awesome. I know going into the last game last night, I was like, we're not. we're never going to stop them. I know them not having Ja'Marr Chase was big, but we were out Denzel Ward. Mm-hmm. You know, we were out guys. We didn't have David Njoku on the offensive side of the ball. And then the way the game started, they just kept picking up third and longs. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Here we go. We're never getting off the field. And then what really changed the momentum of the game was just like last year, the interception.
Yep.
By AJ Green. Everything after that, it just completely flipped. All of a sudden, their offense went kaput. And what's the left tackle for the Bengals? His name, Jonah Williams?
Jonah Williams.
Oh, my God. That guy's got to be having nightmares of Myles Garrett. He didn't stand a chance. Myles Garrett, I thought he had his best game of the season.
Oh, easily, yep.
And I think a big part of that, which we're going to get to voicemail, so I don't want to say too much, but in case somebody talked about this, we moved him around. Mm. And we brought pressure other than just four. Mm-hmm. So they had to be worried about more than just Miles. They couldn't double and triple team him every single play. And look what it did for the defense. It made the secondary look better. It made the linebackers look better. We were tackling better. Pressure is the name of the game.
Yep.
To get pressure, and we finally did it. It's like somebody else was calling plays last night on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. I want to take a big shout out to Talkie Talkie, man.
Oh, my God.
That guy was a beast. And we were talking earlier, like him at Mike, please stay there for the rest of the season. Yep. Please.
You should stay that close the rest of the episode.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know how you felt. I was like super nervous when they were like, yeah, JOK is not going to play. And I'm like, we have some serious, serious issues. We already had issues. And then the fact for like him to step up and have the game that he did, super impressive. I felt like he was everywhere. Every time we need to play.
I wonder if Jones or our safety, I wonder if them, like him, one of them having the mic or whatever, I wonder if they're putting the guys in better spots. Like Johnson's maybe woken up a little bit.
Yeah.
Or Jones has been like a stabilizing factor. The last two games, the tackling, guys seem to know, other than that one run by the Ravens running back there, mm-hmm. Gus Williams, they seem to know where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Deion Jones, 5 tackles, 3 solos. He had a sack. He had a tackle for a loss. I said it's amazing how much better the defense looks when Phillips isn't on the field, it stinks to say that because I think Phillips was a guy – they were talking a lot about him coming out of training camp. He was getting ready to take that leap. Man, 2 games without him, and Deion Jones has stepped in. The defense has looked a million times better.
Yeah.
John, what were some of your takeaways from the game? I know you were there last night. You had great seats, so you probably had a better view than all of us.
Yeah, I actually planned on watching the recording today just so I could kind of recap everything.
What happened?
I slept for a really long time. But yeah, I was not expecting us to stop them from scoring at all. I thought they were going to score a lot of touchdowns on us, and I thought we were not going to score a lot of touchdowns on them. But... To my surprise, that's just not how it worked out. Biggest takeaway, Bengals fans suck. You all suck.
Yeah.
You're all a bunch of babies.
Yeah. Who day, who nay. You didn't win. So shut up.
Awesome win, though. And like I said last week, primetime games at home, we tend to be good. It's been that way for the last 5 years. And I've gone to a primetime game every year since the Jets game when Baker debuted. Every year I've gone to a primetime game, we always win.
Especially on Thursday night, I think we've won five or six in a row. One more thing before we get to the voicemails. I thought Kevin Stefanski coached a great game. Yeah. And I thought Zach Taylor coached a terrible game. The Browns have one of the worst rush defenses in the league. And at one point, Joe Mixon only had like 6 carries late into the first half or something like that. Zach Taylor can't beat Stefanski. He's like... McVay and Shanahan.
Yeah.
It's his nemesis. I don't think Zach Taylor's a great coach. And I think the Bengals, and we all get enamored with their offensive weapons and stuff. I just don't think they're a great team. They went to the Super Bowl last year. They kind of caught fire at the end. Plus, they kind of caught some breaks on who they got to play in the playoffs, aside from the Chiefs, obviously. They only won 10 games in the regular season. It's not like they were some dominating team throughout the regular season, won 13, 14 games, went to the playoffs. They barely won the division and got into the playoffs. And then they got to play the Titans. Who else did they play?
The Chiefs.
Well, but besides the Chiefs.
The Raiders.
The Raiders. So they got to play the Raiders and then the Titans.
And the Chiefs.
And the Chiefs. The Chiefs, obviously a tough game. Yeah. But they kind of caught some breaks last year.
Yeah, when you're hot, you're hot. You know, you're kind of rolling.
So
they get some PI offensive calls, no calls, you know, too. They do a lot of pushing off, you know, it's kind of like the Ravens. They get a lot of holding calls and they just don't get them for whatever reason. We don't get the same justice, but
T. Higgins definitely pushed off. Poor Greedy, man. Mm-hmm. That was great, great coverage. And when I first saw it, I was like, oh, he just got moss. I mean, nothing you can do. The guy made a great play. Then they showed it from the other side. He definitely pushed off. I said, hey, they saw that last week. And if they don't call it last week, the Browns are 500.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's one of those things. It's like, you know.
Well, that was right in front of us. And we basically, I was losing my mind. You know, people were telling me to calm down. And I just couldn't believe they called that. No call.
Yeah, I was going to say, one guy who does not have to push off is Amari Cooper. Mm. The guy's open every single play, it seems like. Jacoby just waits, you know, just if he has enough time for Cooper to do his thing and just, he knows he's going
to
be open.
Yeah, and to your point, like, sometimes I think they go too much to him, and then I'm like, but he's always open.
He's always open.
Yeah.
I think we got, so he had a great game, and also Peoples-Jones had, like, a very, very impressive game, and I didn't realize it at the time, but basically Cincinnati lost both their cornerbacks, like, I think second quarter. Owusie is out for the season. I saw that today, and then Trey Flowers left during, I think, the second quarter. So, you know, we were hearing, oh, how are these guys so open, you know, like, these are the Browns. Like, this is Jacoby Brissett throwing to him. I mean, you lose two of your starting cornerbacks during the game. It's gonna be a big factor.
Well, I mean, we were without our All Pro cornerback.
That's fair.
We had a rookie third round draft pick out there balling out.
The thing with Cooper though is it's every game.
Yeah,
no. That's the thing. The coverage doesn't really seem to matter. He's
every
open.
Game. Every game at home. Good point. And when we go to other cities, I feel like he kind of disappears a little bit.
You got to give credit to Jacoby, too, because not every backup quarterback makes throws that good. I mean, he made some really great throws.
Had some dynamite throws,
Like deep.
Yes.
Deep throws
on point, absolutely precise. The one that he kind of led Cooper down the sideline.
Yeah.
And unreal. Cooper dove for it. Oh, my gosh.
Like the fingers.
Yeah. Oh, it was unreal. I mean, great, great catch, but man, what a throw.
But Amari Cooper had 5 catches, 131 yards, and a touchdown. We got him for a 5th-round pick.
Yeah.
It's highway robbery.
Yeah.
It really is.
When you see what other teams are giving up for receivers and what they're paying receivers, it's highway robbery. I mean, the dude's going to – we might have 2,000-yard receivers this year playing with a backup quarterback for 11 games. We might have 2,000-yard receivers and 1,000-yard rushers.
Gee, what's the difference? Because last year we couldn't get a guy over 500, it seemed like.
I think I tweeted this out too. I said all of a sudden DJ Moore is good at football again. What happened?
Stuff.
What's changed? I think not to go back to last year, but it's been decided.
It's a night and day difference.
All we had to do was get rid of Odell Beckham Jr.
We got way better. Yeah. It's crazy. The last time I think the Browns had 2,000-yard receivers and 1,000-yard rusher, by the way, the great Freddie Kitchens here. I'm pretty sure Odell and Jarvis were both over 1,000. I'm pretty sure Nick Chubb was over 1,000.
I think you're right. That sounds right.
100%. So get Freddie Kitchens another head coaching job, apparently. So why don't we go ahead and get to some voicemails? That way we don't end up repeating ourselves a million times.
Yeah, I like that. So this first one's from Trace.
Hey guys, it's Trace from Columbus, Ohio. I just want to get my thoughts in. I literally just turned off the game, about to listen to the post-game show. I think it was an all-around amazing game. The defense played amazing, out of their minds. Joe Woods called some really, really good calls for once. Miles Garrett, Isaiah Thomas, and Sione Takitaki impressed me. Really, really did. Nick Chubb, as always, incredible, incredible. And we continue to dominate Cincinnati ever since Joe Burrow got in there. So always excited for that, especially in a primetime game, especially with our season on the line. So with this victory, we'll go 2-1 in the division. So we'll see where that takes us. A good resting week for the bye week. And I can't wait to see more from this defense. See more when Deshaun Watson comes back. All right. Love you guys' stuff. And go Browns.
Woo, woo.
Let's clarify. See more of this from the defense. Not more of this this defense so far this year. I don't want to see more of them. But this performance, yes.
So this is awesome. I think I said on the live that I wasn't trusting the defense yet last week because it was only 1 week. Mm-hmm. And I'm having a complete brain flatuation year. I don't remember who we played. Who'd we play last week?
Ravens.
The Ravens. That's right. The Ravens. And I was like, we're playing against the Ravens. We played well, but their offense has been struggling. They don't really have any receiving threats. So I just wasn't putting a ton of confidence into the defense yet. Done it 2 weeks in a row now. And the Bengals, even without Ja'Marr Chase, the Bengals have T. Higgins and Boyd and Hurst and Joe Mixon and Joe Burrow. That's still a capable offense that can put up points, and we had them shut out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They looked unstoppable last week.
25-0 until what, end of the third?
Yeah.
And didn't Joe Burrow just
it was garbage
500
time.
Yards not that long ago?
It was almost 500, 480 something.
Yep, four touchdowns. And he had that, when I looked over, like you were saying, in the third quarter, I looked over at the scoreboard, and I think they had like 94 yards, and I was like, maybe it was 94 passing yards.
No, it was total.
Total? Yeah, so I was like, oh, man, you know.
I don't think they cracked 100 yards of offense until early into the fourth quarter. That's insane.
That's impressive. Yeah.
He threw for almost 500 yards not that long ago.
Yeah.
Kenny touched on it in the intro a little bit, and then Trace just talked about it. Sione Takitaki maybe had his best game as a Brown.
Yeah.
I think so.
Playing that Mike spot, maybe that's where we need to keep him.
Yeah, please
stay there. To me, he needs to be between the tackles. Be a run stuffer. Mm-hmm. Just let him play free. That's his natural, comfortable position. Let's play people where they're best. Maybe Joe Woods is finally getting the hint. I don't know what is wrong with Joe Woods that takes him a half a season to realize, like, this is what this guy's good at, so let's let him do it. But let's leave him there now. It's obviously where he's comfortable. Let's play to the guy's strengths. Let's mold the system to the players, not try to make the players mold to the system. And I feel like we did that last night. John Johnson had the green dot on. Communication was better.
Mm-hmm.
And tackling was the best it's been all season. Yeah. There were times last night where they'd catch a short pass and we'd close 6-7 yards like that and actually bring him down without him slipping the first guy and the guy just diving 20 feet past him and then running for a first down. It's the first time all season.
It was super annoying for most of the season to see that, you know, come up, get to the flats, put your guy down. Nope. Miss, 10 yards. Miss, and we can't get off. And it's these soul-sucking drives that are just breaking our defense. And now we're tackling, and we just need to do that for the rest of the year. The other thing the caller said, though, Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's coming on. And what was that, seventh round?
Yeah.
No, sixth round. Sixth round. Like, thank you.
Yeah, no kidding. We do have to give a shout out. You know who set the tone for this game?
That would be Anthony Bell.
Anthony Bell, opening kickoff, comes out, great tackle, pins them deep in their own territory, just set the tone for the entire game.
It was awesome seeing 37 fly down the field and just make that tackle and get up, and it's like, that's our guy.
I texted him this morning, told him way to set the tone. Yeah. He's like, I always try to set the tone. I was like, that's right, dog.
Yeah.
That's right. That was awesome to see. So we got to give him props. Obviously, we're big fans of his on the show. But again, the defense, I think one thing I want to touch on, maybe callers talked about this, Nick Chubb was over 20 carries. So, which makes me a little nervous that people are going to be like, see, Nick Chubb got 20 carries.
There's one of these voicemails or that gets mentioned.
Okay, let's just get to the voicemail.
The problem is I don't know which one it was.
We'll get to it. I'll put a pin in it.
Yeah, and I'll support you. I know exactly where you're going. I'll support you on that.
Oh, this one's from Phil.
Hey, guys, it's Phil. I finally get to say something positive. This game was so much fun to watch in a bar down here in Cincinnati surrounded by Bengals fans. Oh, it was so great. This is the team we expected to have this year. If they can play like this the rest of the season, we have a shot. Played well in all three phases. Ran the ball. Thank you, Kevin. I was all over him about that trick play, but it doesn't matter now. We won. We just got to do this consistently now. The Bengals probably aren't as good as a lot of people said, so we need to go out, beat some teams that maybe we shouldn't beat to have a shot. I think we can beat Miami. I think we can beat Tampa. Buffalo, probably not. But if we can beat Miami and Tampa, there's your five wins. And then Deshaun comes back and we have a chance. Great win. Really pumped. I just want to see this again because it was great. Go Brownies.
The one thing I want to address real quick about that Amari Cooper play, the trick play where he threw the pass, I don't know if I want to blame Kevin so much for the play call. That was very poor execution. Amari Cooper should have never thrown that pass.
Yes, I texted guys in the Patreon and said, when we run trick plays like that in junior high, we tell the receiver, if it's not wide open or you don't like it, just run it or throw it out of bounds.
Right.
So the professional NFL player should have known that if he didn't like what he saw or he was under pressure, just eat it.
Just eat it.
Just eat it. Throw it out of bounds. Yep. Do something. People complain about that call. I said this. They didn't complain about it the last 2 years when it was Jarvis Landry.
Right.
Or Odell.
Or, you know what I mean? That right. We've been running a wide receiver pass the last 3 years, and it's worked really well. And if you go back and watch, the guy's wide open.
Yeah, you just need to get air under the ball.
40 yards down the field.
I mean, he knew the pressure was coming is what I'm saying. So, yeah, like, you just eat it, man.
I just don't know what Amari Cooper was doing. It's like he forgot we were wearing brown. He threw it right to him.
I listened to it like so on the way home, I usually get stuck in traffic for like 2 hours just trying to exit Cleveland. And he said that he was trying to throw it out of bounds, but I guess he just couldn't get enough on it. And I was like, whoa.
The out of, it's 100 yards. You don't have to throw it out of bounds 40. You could just literally throw it. You were right out, you were next to out of bounds.
There's no way he was trying to throw that out of bounds because he threw it very much inbounds.
Yeah. Did it seem like everybody from the Bengals was in the backfield in that play?
Yeah.
And when we do end around or something, like we'll call it a trick play, right? It just seems like our offensive line forgets to block everyone. Well,
even when Nick Chubb did the toss to Cooper, it looked bad.
Like,
it looked like even Chubb was like, I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to give it to him.
He kind of flipped it and then like dove in front of the guy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Put his body on the line.
I think there was an offensive lineman right in his way. Like he was getting blown up. It was bad.
Yep.
Both the picks we threw yesterday were two terrible decisions.
Yes.
They both should have just been sacked.
I don't recall a second pick.
No, I don't either.
Jacoby
Brissett threw a pick, and he threw it about from me to you.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was a fumble.
They ruled it a fumble.
Okay. Yeah, so I didn't hear the announcer say
Okay.
I kept thinking it was a pick, too, but now that you said it, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but either way.
Yeah.
We did run the ball well. One thing I want to talk about with running the ball, a lot of people say you got to come out and run the ball. The Browns are a weird team. Everybody knows we want to run the ball. We have to throw. You see Kevin come out and throw the ball a lot in the first quarter. We have to complete some early passes to soften up the defense so we can run the ball. We don't need to run for teams to stack the box. They know we want to run.
Yeah.
So it's not normal. You know, a lot of times people come out, run the ball, set up the pass, get them to creep up. People are already creeped up on us on the first play. You saw it happen. The first few times we were in the ball, Nick Chubb got nowhere. Yep, even for the game, he only averaged 4.4 yards a carry. Obviously, he had a good game, but that's a yard less than his career average.
Mm-hmm.
But we were getting nowhere. They were stuffing all the runs. We hit just a couple passes. All of a sudden, the run game wakes up. It's because they have to. They realize, Jacoby's actually going to make us pay today. We got good Jacoby. Okay, we're going to have to soften it up. We can't put 10 guys in the box. Then all of a sudden we start running all over him. We can't just come out and just run the ball 15 times in a row to start the game. It's not going to work.
No. Junior high, yes, but
yeah. And I get it. I mean, I know a lot of people. He's the best player on the team. He's our best offensive weapon. Yada yada. But you're right. We can't just do it every single play.
Correct. And
to the get people, these guys off.
And I know he's saying thank you, Kevin, for running the ball. He's being sarcastic. Nick Chubb's second in the league in carries. Behind, and not by that much. It's only by like 12 or 15 carries. And he sat half the fourth quarter last night.
Mm-hmm.
So he's getting his touches. One thing I want to touch on, he said, if this is the team we were expecting, I would argue this is the defense we were expecting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Nobody thought we were getting an offense that was going to put up 30 points a game.
Right.
With Jacoby Brissett.
You know what I mean? This is the icing on the cake.
Yes. And this is why it's so frustrating what our record is, because our offense has played so well through the first half of the season that we should not be where we're at.
Yeah. We shouldn't be, what are we now, 3-5?
Yeah. 3-5.
We shouldn't be 3-5.
No, we should definitely be over 500.
Correct. If we can get this defense to complement the surprisingly good offense, things are looking up.
Yeah.
Miami made some trades today. They're going to be tough. At least we get the bye week to prepare for them. Buffalo, I think we can run the ball on Buffalo, but we'll see. I don't know if we're going to stop them. We might have to beat them 50-51 or something.
It'll be a track meet for sure.
And I think the Bucks are super beatable.
Absolutely. Yeah,
they are.
So, on the road, too.
Yeah.
Like they're coming to us.
How many wins, John, do you think we need when Deshaun comes back, realistically, if we want to have a real shot at the playoffs?
I think we only need to have a shot, five wins.
I'm going to be crazy. I think technically we only need four to have a shot.
To have a shot. Yeah, okay.
It's a bottleneck right now in the AFC. Yep. Nobody wants to be good.
We're 2-1 in the division, and I know the Ravens are leading the division right now, but you've watched them play. They are not playing that well.
Mm-mm. No, they're not.
They're not playing that well. Now, they traded for Roquan Smith, so we'll see how that helps their defense. It's not going to help them score points. They just lost Bateman again. He can't stay healthy.
Right.
So the Ravens barely beat us when we played awful defensively again. Mm-hmm. Or not defensively, but offensively. So I just think they're very beatable. I think everybody in this division is beatable. Obviously, Cincinnati can't beat us.
In the whole conference, like you take a look at the conference, everybody's beating the crap out of each other in the AFC.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then in the NFC, there's guys, you know, taking off. But you're basically have the Bills. You got the Chiefs. And then everybody else is going to be 9-8.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm being a little sarcastic, but kind of not.
Kind of not. I don't think so, man. I really don't think so. There's teams that we thought were going to be a lot better. Look at Las Vegas. We thought Las Vegas was going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say I thought they're going to be world beaters, but I thought they were going to be like, I thought they were all going to eat each other alive in the West.
And what about they would win the division?
Correct.
What about the Broncos?
Yeah. Oh, Broncos. Like
they're awful.
I watched them again, and I don't know why I just keep doing it. It was because there's nothing else on.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I keep. It's so disappointing because they have a lot of talent.
Yeah.
Maybe not a running back yet, but.
They got Chase Edmonds.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But, I mean, they have like some decent receivers and just Russ Wilson. Every time that they barely win, they look awful, and he says, Bronco country, let's ride.
Oh, I just man, cringe. That's so brutal.
I hate it. Yeah. Mr. Unlimited. Yeah. It's terrible. It's terrible. Stop. You guys are bad.
So, no, I think four wins, we legit have a shot. If Watson comes back and wins six, that gives us 10 wins. I think 10 wins gets us in. I think 9 wins, if as long as we win our division games, we have a real shot at winning the division with 9 wins. So if we only have 4 and Deshaun comes back, as long as he doesn't lose a division game when he comes back, I think there's a chance to get in with 9 wins. So even though it's an uphill battle and we're making it tougher on ourselves than we should because we're Cleveland and that's what we do, the season's still very much alive. And so it's so nice to just have hope. Now, a lot of times hope is like what crushes me because now I'm going to go into our next game hopeful, and then they come out and lay an egg, and then my week is ruined, so we'll see. But the season's very much alive now. It gives us a reason to keep doing a podcast.
And everybody, a reason to keep listening.
Yeah.
All right, Browns fans, the kicker's lining up for an onside kick. The chances of regaining possession are slim, unless you're kicking to the Browns. The stakes are high and the tension is higher. Your pulse racing, he kicks, you watch, the ball lands. Make every play feel this exciting with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and their unbeatable offers. Right now, new customers can make any $5 NFL bet and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Check this out. In addition to the usual bets, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. To make things even sweeter, you can throw down on stepped-up same-game parlays once per game day all season long. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN. Get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Just place a $5 bet on any football game. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Use promo code TPPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
From tailgate parties to busy weeknights, the flavor experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to savor all the flavors of fall. With their mouthwatering assortments of perfectly aged steaks, ultra-juicy burgers, and easy-to-prepare comfort meals that are ready in a flash. Right now, take advantage of 50% off site-wide by shopping their semi-annual sale. This sale only happens twice a year, and it's on now with 50% off delicious customer favorites. And when you use promo code DOGS at checkout, take an additional $30 off of your order. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter DOGS at checkout, and stock up on fall flavor today. Omaha Steaks is perfect for those chilly and busy fall nights with entrees ready before the kids can say, what's for dinner? And don't forget to use the promo code DOGS at checkout to score an extra $30 off your order. Omaha Steaks isn't just steak. It's the best steak of your life. Guaranteed. That's omahasteaks.com. Promo code DOGS at checkout. Minimum order may be required. Now let's get back to the show. Oh!
Here's a call from Khalil.
What's up, Browns fans? This is Khalil. And after watching last night's game, Donovan Peoples-Jones just continues to impress me throughout his career. You know, it was said when we drafted him, this dude has like first round or second, third round talent. We picked him up in the sixth, and he just shows up all the time as a backup quarterback. So I'm just excited to see him with Deshaun Watson and see how that comes out. Anyways, let me know what you guys' thoughts on Donovan Peoples-Jones, and peace. Have a good day.
I think that the fact that our offense can put up these kind of numbers every week, or for the most part, with a backup quarterback and very limited receiving options is just scary, honestly, to think about what we can do with a real quarterback. And then if we get, like, maybe another weapon next year, geez, ow, man.
Yeah, you know what's crazy is with Deshaun, we might not need any more weapons.
But that's true.
Because I think
David Bell's going to be okay, too.
He looked good.
Yeah.
He looked good yesterday.
I'm glad he brought up DPJ because we were actually talking about him. We had a pregame brew, if we were slurring any words. When we were having that brew, we were talking about DPJ. He's quietly on pace to get close to 1,000 yards. Mm-hmm. He's at 417 yards right now. He's going to be, if he has one great game, 1,000, 850 plus, though, he's on pace for. No touchdowns right now, but all
Jacoby's not throwing a lot of touchdowns.
Correct. And they're all going to Cooper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And which I don't want to say they should be, but Amari Cooper is so tough to defend at the goal line. Why would you not look there? And then time he does look there, he's open. So obviously he's going to get the ball.
And you know at the goal line we're running the ball.
Yes.
You typically.
So. He's got 30 catches, 417 yards, averaging almost 14 yards a catch right now. I think he solidified himself as a true number two wide receiver. And this is with Jacoby Brissett.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You put him, look what Watson did with a guy like Will Fuller.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Donovan Peoples-Jones could blow up when Watson gets back. And Joku, I think, is going to go crazy. Obviously, Amari Cooper is going to be nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Just the possibilities of this offense with Watson. I love what Jacoby's doing, and I love Jacoby's post-game press conferences and interviews on the field. He just seems like such a good dude, and he's all bought in. He understands his role. It seems like the guys in the locker room rally around him. But he's obviously limited at quarterback. He's so slow. He might be slower than me. Obviously, that's a joke.
And that short pass game, man, like I think we've abandoned the screen game.
Yeah, yeah, we used to be a great screen game, and he can't get that pass.
I don't know what it is. It just seems like, again, it's either the offensive line's not on the same page. It's like he's throwing it to the ground. He can't get it over the lineman's head, either the D-line or the O-line. And it just any pass to the flats is just flat. It's awful. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so he's I'm loving what he's doing. He's doing everything we've asked. But there's limitations to his game. Mm-hmm. There's not really any limitations to Deshaun Watson's game. All these plays, the offensive line's great, but these plays where Jacoby has to scramble around and then he gets caught from behind and ends up being a sack or a 1 to 2 yard gain, it's a 15-yard gain for Deshaun Watson. Or he scrambles and throws it deep, it's a touchdown.
Oh, that run, though, speaking of scrambling, when he ran that touchdown, and that was awesome. But I don't know if you guys thought when he ran that, I thought in my head, because we were at the Chargers game too, I was like, I wish he would have done that against the Chargers.
That's the first thing I thought.
Yeah.
About a throw was coming.
He said he learned from that in his press conference. Yeah,
clearly.
He learns from his past mistakes. Huh.
You know, another thing that I noticed this weekend, too, just watching several games and then again the other night watching Jacoby play is, good quarterbacks, and we've talked about this before, when they drop back and the pressure comes to them, they step up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Step up in the pocket, make a throw, go through their reads. Not such great quarterbacks freak out, start moving, side to side.
Pump fake it 3 or 4 times. Yeah.
And I saw that with several quarterbacks this week where I was like, okay, this guy's not stepping up in the pocket when the pressure's coming at him or around him. Jacoby was doing that last night. He always does that, which is good to see.
Yep.
I think they're a little disrespected going into the game. If you listen to what he said after the game, he's like, all you guys did was talk about their offense, their defense.
Yep.
I like that. And maybe we need a little bit of chippiness. Maybe we need to think that we're not that great. If that's how we're going to play when we come out, be disrespectful.
Sign me up, man, because I want to watch that every week.
I'm okay with that.
The first 7 games, it almost seemed like we've been reading our newspaper clippings too much.
Mm. Yep.
You know what I mean? And now we come in desperate, backs against the wall. This is about as must-win as it could have been for this early in the season. Absolutely. And we played our butts off. So maybe this is just the kick in the rear the team needed. So appreciate the call. I'm glad you brought up DPJ because we need to give him his flowers because he's having a great season.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So let's go on to, here's Brown Tiger.
Let's go, Browns. This is the Brown Tiger. And I just want to say what an absolute great dominating win that our Browns had last night. Man, what an absolute great game on all facets. The defense was dominant. The offense was dominant. We played like fire. We played like the Browns that I know we can play as. And I just wanted to say, what an absolute great game. And what have we been saying all along? We've been saying, give Nick Chubb the ball and let him do his thing. And what did we do last night? We gave Nick Chubb the ball, and we won the game. All right? And I wanted to also say is the one negative I have of the entire game, the only negative I have of the entire game, you have your number one receiver in Amari Cooper. All right? I don't want to see that guy throwing the ball ever again. He is your number one receiver for a reason. He is not the quarterback. Don't ever try that crap again. Like he's not a quarterback for a reason. But that's the only negative I have. Let's go, Browns. Woof, 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 woof. Let's turn this season around.
I'm pretty sure Brown Tiger's a very new Browns fan.
Yes.
He just started becoming a Browns fan
because he's a Deshaun Watson fan.
He's a Deshaun Watson fan. So you got to love his enthusiasm for the Browns. Everybody loves the trick play when it works.
Right.
And then anytime a trick play doesn't work, that was a terrible call. Yeah. It's one of those things where you're like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Mm-hmm. The way I looked at it was we got in the pick, we had a little bit of momentum. I think the offense, we weren't running the ball great yet. And Kevin's going, we got some momentum. Let's get a spark. Let's get this thing going. Let's go up on them early. Because, I mean, Kevin might not even expect it to put up 32 and completely dominate. Like, you know what I mean? So I didn't mind the play call. We already talked about it. Cooper's just got to be smart.
Yep.
He's just got to throw the ball away.
Well, and that's the problem. You know, we can jump all over Kevin, you know, but he calls the play. Like you said, he assessed the situation, said this is the right time to do this. Let's try it. He calls it. At that point, it's out of his hands. I mean, once that ball snapped, it's on the players to execute that play.
Yeah.
And so, he didn't. So
I would go, though, with a game. Like, he liked the whole game. I'd say it was a great three quarters. The first quarter, I don't know about you guys, but we come out, we line up 12 guys on defense.
Yes.
And I'm like,
first play of the game.
And then we
first play.
We get a field goal blocked. And then, you know,
that's
what I mean?
I was going to say is Brown Tiger said we played great on all facets, offense and defense. He didn't say anything about special teams because we did not play well in all facets. Our special teams was still bad last night.
We got lucky, and their special teams just turned out to be way shittier than ours.
They missed a PAT.
Yep, and a field goal. And that kid is money.
Yeah.
It was shocking. Yeah. I literally looked at my mom, and I said, this kid's not. This kid is money in the bank.
I called him missing it. So I'm sitting there on the couch with my wife watching the game, and Joe Buck starts talking about all the kicks he's made.
Yeah.
And how he hasn't. He's made 9 in a row.
Jinxed him.
And I was like, he's going to miss. No time like the present. He just jinxed him.
Yep.
Then he missed it. Anytime the announcers talk about
free throw shooting,
they come out and they miss it. They jinxed him.
Yep. Except for Justin Tucker. I don't think they try to jinx him.
No,
he's a different breed. Yeah, he's different.
You know what the good part, though, was is that with all that stuff that we said in the first quarter really wasn't that great, we didn't crumble.
No.
We stuck to the game plan, and we got Nick Chubb running when he should have. And, you know, Myles Garrett stepped it up, and we just kept pouring it on. Amari came to, Brissett was passing, and they just wanted it more than the Bengals. The Bengals kind of looked like they didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
And that makes you feel like the whole game, like, we were awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
It was even, like, late fourth quarter, and I'm like, in my head, it was like 13 minutes ago, and they were getting the ball back, and I'm like,
I was still scared.
Is this still? Yeah, I'm like doing the math in my head. I'm like, so if they can, well, 4 touchdowns. I'm like, can they score 4 touchdowns? I'm like, well, we're going to be here till the end. And, I mean, especially when Higgins had that little push-off catch, and I can't even remember how long. It was like a 40-yard catch for a touchdown. I was like, oh, damn, here we go.
Yeah.
I mean, if this is a thing, like our onside kicking receiving team or whatever you want to call it, if that's a thing, like they scare me. I'm afraid to have an onside kick towards us, man.
That kicker, at least from my seat, it looked like he just absolutely just ripped into that kick. I was like, oh, wow, I went, you know, near into the crowd.
I want to touch on one thing real quick, though. We held the Bengals to 13.
Yes.
And I get where you could be coming from with this, but we didn't necessarily win that game because we gave Nick Chubb the ball.
It was a game script. Yeah.
Oh. I see if we're keeping our drive alive because we're giving Nick Chubb the ball, we're keeping it out of the Bengals offense. out of the hands of the Bengals offense. So there's a little bit of truth to that. But we held them to 13 points because our defense performed well, not because we weren't giving them the ball.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't win. We didn't hold them to 13 because we gave Nick Chubb the ball. What was it, 23 times?
Yeah.
We outplayed them. That's why fair. We won the game.
Well, another thing, just real quick to touch, and I know you're going to go more into it, but like there were some like third and longers where Jacoby Brissett made nice throws just to move the chains, and it was like we had sustained drives last night, which was great to see. Yep.
No third and 19s though. Like third and long was, you're talking about 8-9 yards maybe.
And
those third and 18s the last, what, let's say 3 weeks, those have been soul suckers for us, man.
Yeah.
Been killing us. But yeah, I know what you mean. Like third and 9, third and 8, third and 7, like we were money.
It was one of those games where I'm like, I think we're going to get this. We're going to pick this up.
Yeah.
And they were super consistent on third down too yesterday. I think it ended up being they were like 8 for 13 or something like that. Like, We executed very, very well. Very, very well for third down.
After this game, John actually texted me and said, the only thing that sucks about this game is that Nick Chubb had over 20 carries. So now all these people are going to be screaming, Nick Chubb over 20 carries, we win the game. Guys, you have to look at other things in the game that affect that. It's not just giving the ball to Nick Chubb 20 times. I bring up the point of the Jets game. He didn't get the ball 20 times in that game, but is that why we lost? No, we didn't lose because Nick Chubb didn't get 20 carries to the Jets. We didn't win this game because Nick Chubb got 23 carries. Like John said, we won this game because we were able to stay on script. We didn't get down because the defense played well.
Yeah.
The defense finally showed up and played well. We won because we gave up 13 points, and those were garbage time touchdowns. They had a goose egg going into the fourth quarter. Yep. They didn't even have 100 yards of offense. That's why the Browns won the game.
And he went over 20 carries because we were up multiple, and I'm not even talking, when I say multiple, I'm talking like 3-4 touchdowns. You're gonna, if they would have went out there and not ran the ball in the fourth quarter, I would have lost my mind. I literally, the clock is the enemy at that point. All you have to do, like if they would have ran it 3 times and punted it for multiple drives, I'd have been like, that's okay. We're run the clock out. Let's get out of here. I mean, that helps a lot, especially when you have Nick Chubb. That helps, but
yeah, I know what you're talking about because I remember looking at the clock and it was like 6:06.
Yeah,
and I kept telling my girlfriend, I was like, I will feel better when there's 4 minutes off that
correct.
Clock.
Yes,
and we
yes.
were still up by like 19 points. I'm like, yeah. Nah, I feel way better then.
Absolutely.
You know? At least it was 19, not 13.
Yeah. What'd you guys think of Tyler Boyd kind of like running his mouth and talking crap when he caught that touchdown to be down 3 scores late in the game? I'm like, okay. Okay, Cincinnati fans. Well,
the Cincinnati fans were doing that too.
Yeah, I mean, he's like waving at the crowd and doing something. I'm like, you're losing by a lot.
And that touchdown almost was an interception. He just got so lucky, he got tipped in his direction because that could have gone straight up, out to the side, or been picked if he got both hands on it. Emerson had a good game.
Oh, he had a fantastic game.
And then just one last thing about Nick Chubb has 149 carries on the year. He's second in the league in carries. Number one is Saquon at 163. So it's only 14 carries difference.
So Nick Chubb are giving him the ball.
Yes. So he's getting the ball plenty. Yeah. And I touched on this. Running backs are not going to get the ball 20 to 25 times a game. That's too many times. That's 340 to 420 carries in a year, something like that. That's not realistic. Mm-mm.
Do you think sometimes, though, when people say that, what they really mean is, like, he's just not getting the ball at opportune times? Mm-hmm. Here's what I found in this game. So, typical Brown script. Chubb gets the ball between the 20s. Then you bring in Kareem. And everyone goes, oh, well, they're going to pass out the flats, or he might run up the middle. This time it was a little bit different. It was like Kareem had his set plays, but was more in the midfield. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden we got around the 30-yard line or the red zone, and then Chubb got the ball, and then everybody's happy. Right? Yep. Oh, he got enough carries. Yep. You know, or the game went right. But it's just maybe coming out the wrong way.
Well, I forget who said it, but somebody said, I was listening to something. They said Nick Chubb, the goal line for Nick Chubb starts at like the 35.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
You have to win on the early downs to be able to keep running the ball. Mm-hmm. If you're getting stuffed for no yards on first and second down, you're not going to have that many carries in the game because you're not going to run the ball on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, unless you're Freddie Kitchens.
Right. Third and 20.
You run a draw. Sneak it. You run a draw on 4th and 12 or something like that. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you have to win the early downs in order to keep running the ball. Mm-hmm. And we just talked about this. A lot of times we throw on the early downs. Well, one, it's easier to throw on 1st and 2nd down because the whole playbook's open. especially if you get some yards on first down, it's second and five. Now the whole playbook's the defense has to defend everything. If you're living in second and nine, you're probably going to do some kind of pass there because you can't afford for it to be third and eight or third and seven plus. You have to win on the early downs to be able to keep running the ball and stay on script. In the game, this was a game we were able to do that. We ran it 44 times. We threw it 23 times. And it's because we were killing them. I guarantee if the scores were opposite, we would have thrown a lot more.
Yeah. Yep. One thing I wanted to just talk about real quick. Did you guys catch on the broadcast Jacoby doing his when he was jawing up, when you do trying to do his
jump,
trying to jump on sides, sides? Yeah,
55. I didn't see
he's
it.
Like, he's like going up.
Guys were talking
blitz,
about it.
Come at me, I dare you. He's like yelling at these guys, really? Like calling him out.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
like
yeah, calling him out on the. So they were texting about it. I ended up watching it later, but yeah, when they came out, I can't even remember what it was. But they're basically trying to get him offside.
It was like fourth and two or something like that.
Towards the end of the game,
towards
too.
The end
they
of the
like
game,
the 45, something. And
it was kind of that middle territory, too. Uh-huh. Like we could have been going for it, especially with, I mean, Kevin, he's ballsy.
Yeah. But, yeah, he's just kind of calling
people out. But it was just cool that the mic was picking it up, and he was just having fun out there, like just calling out numbers, saying, like, hey, come on, come over here, I dare you to blitz, like just yelling at him, like, I'm looking at you, and it was just cool.
Yeah. They said they were talking about it. They asked about it in his post-game interview, and he said he was just thinking about like what Philip Rivers would do.
Philip Rivers
is like a notorious trash talker, so he's like, I was just thinking about Philip Rivers. They played together in Indy, I'm pretty sure. So that's super funny. But do we have any more voicemails?
Yeah, we do have some more. We've got a couple more. This one's from Riley.
What's up, Browns fans? This is Riley. First and foremost, great win tonight. It's always sweet to beat the Bungles, but it's even better when it comes on Monday Night Football in front of the entire nation to witness that ass beating. So that's awesome to see. A couple things I want to address. I don't know what to feel about Joe Woods. The first four games or five games were inexcusable on the defensive side of the ball. However, he put together a phenomenal game plan. I'm not ready to say that we owe him an apology, but I don't know what to think, because when the defense plays like that, they look great. It looked like last year. On the offensive side of the ball, the first half, we got a little too cute, I thought. But we buttoned it up in the second and put together a complete team performance. What do you guys think? I don't know what to feel about Joe Woods, because it's so seesaw. Either way, you never know what you're going to get. But if we get more of what we got tonight, we're going to win some football games. Let's go, Browns.
I think you kind of do know what you're – I mean, we talked about it. Like, the first half of the season, we always suck. Mm-hmm. And in the second half, it's like, what the heck?
So, if I use the same argument I used as on our last quarterback, consistency matters. Mm-hmm. You can't be high and low. Because I don't want to come into next year being like, well, I hope the defense is going to be good. Yeah. I just want to know that the defense is going to be good. You know, so I guess it all depends on how it goes. I'm feeling better the last 2 weeks, but I'm still not ready to be like, yeah, he's definitely coming back.
We've got some tough matchups coming up.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how he does. You know, like if the Bucs offense looks great against us, that's going to be irritating because they've looked like trash.
Right. But
so
it's,
far this
it's
year.
Like Miami and Buffalo I'm worried about, because Miami's
Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
He's fast. No, that's going to be a challenge. I had somebody on Twitter that I talked to a lot last night saying we needed to apologize to Joe Woods because he's doing the same thing he did last year. I said, I don't have to apologize for anything. He was awful at his job for 8 weeks or 7 weeks. I don't have to apologize. He saved his job for another week. That's the way I look at it. Because in my opinion, his seat's still hot.
Oh,
he's still very much living on the edge. He's surviving week by week. Now, if he can string together 10 good weeks, then maybe he saved it for another offseason. But right now, it's still prove it mode every single week, in my opinion, because two good games, we're fighting an uphill battle because you were so bad at your job for the first month and a half of the season.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like I saw the Colts today went out and they fired their offensive coordinator because they're not moving the ball. They're not scoring any points. So they're done with this. We're tired of watching this every week. So,
which is crazy because, we thought Matt Ryan was going to make them a dark horse Super Bowl contender.
He'll never play another down for the Colts.
It's terrible.
It's crazy.
Saw this happen with Joe Woods last year, and we all got so comfortable. We were a top 10 defense at the end of the year.
We were almost top five.
Top five. Yeah. And You know, I just don't want to do this again. I don't. If we're top five at the end of the year in defense, all that means to me is we're just going to come out next year and be really bad on defense again.
Yeah, like super soft.
Yeah,
it's soft. Can't get off the field. You know, like
it's like he has a system he wants to run, but it doesn't work. So he'll save his job by the end of the year, and then he'll come back and go back to the system he wants to run.
So he wants to do what the Niners and the Bills do. The Niners and the Bills don't blitz that often. I actually saw watching the Bills game, the Bills are the lowest in blitz rate, but the highest in pressure rate. That's what Joe Woods wants to do. Well, newsflash, that's what every defense wants to do.
Right.
But, right. You know, it'd be great to be able to get pressure with four guys every single time, okay? But you got to have the guys to do it. And if we don't have the guys to do it, especially because this front office doesn't put any value in interior D-line or middle linebacker, which, you know, then we can't do it. So I've been saying this all year. Stop trying to put square pegs in round holes. Quit trying to make these guys fit your system. It's clearly not going to work. We blitzed last night more than we blitzed all year, and the defense was dominant.
Yeah, you're talking about trying to get pressure with guys who can't get pressure. Like you just said, don't. So you got to do something else.
And it frees up Myles Garrett to be Myles Garrett. In order to see the impact Myles Garrett's been having on the game this year, he had to be looking at, like, next-gen stats. Like, well, he's not doing anything, but if you look, he's winning in his pressure rate and his QB breathe-on rate and, you know, and his win rate. And I'm like, yeah, but I want to be able to watch the game and know that Myles is having an impact.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we blitzed last night. We moved him around on the defensive line. We brought some exotic things. And Myles had one of his best games. He still only had, I think, 2 tackles, 1.5 sacks or something like that. But you felt him all the time. Mm-hmm. You felt him. Too many times Myles has gone where you don't even notice he's on the field. And as much as we've talked about Myles' effort on a play-to-play basis, I put just as much of it on the lack of creativity from Joe Woods. So if he wants to keep saving his job, we have to keep doing this.
Well, we got 2 voicemails left. Tanner sent one in, and he had a comment in here about Joe Woods as well.
What's up? It's Tanner. Who day? We don't know. Nobody knows. That was a great game. My voice was gone after the first quarter. I don't even care that I only slept for a couple hours last night. Defense was humming. Nick Chubb was chubbing. Joe Woods is trying real hard to not get fired. I don't think that defensive output had anything to do with Joe Woods. I think that was all the players. I think they got up. It was Monday Night Football, Halloween against the Bengals. We destroy them every time we play them. Joe Burrow, he doesn't know how to read, we found out. So that's what we were shouting all night. But go, Dogs. That's the way to do it. Hopefully we can start a winning streak off of this. Still get Joe Woods. Still get Mike Prefer out of there. Thanks.
Yeah, like we already talked about the special teams again. Just that's got to get cleaned up.
Are you surprised that he still has a job?
Yes.
Yeah, man. He, like, we had a kicker last year that kicked the ground instead of the ball. Like, that's embarrassing. Like, I'm beside myself with this. Like,
and I know we said players got to execute. Like, we gave Stefanski a pass for the trick play and stuff like that. But when it's the same side of the ball all the time, I mean, there's at a point, Cade York, his last 2 kick attempts had been blocked.
Yep. And remember, the PAT or the, you know, field goal team, that unit, they do one thing. Like, when you're out there to do, unless you're running some fake or whatever, you do one thing. Like, the offensive guys have to know how to run each and every play, and they got to do something different, you know, on most plays. You're the field goal unit. Like,
yep.
That's why it's like the coaching is the problem.
Yeah. I would say the performance by the defense the last 2 weeks, I feel like, has shifted my who needs fired more focus. You know, yeah. It used to be Joe Woods, and then I was like, you can take Prefert with you. Now it's like, Prefert, you can go. Joe Woods, don't get comfortable because it's so bad. It makes me feel bad, too, because that's where D'Anthony Bell plays, is on all the special teams. And so I don't like to just rag on the special teams, but they've been the worst part of the team maybe all year, and that's a team that includes the 31st ranked defense.
Oh, yeah, they're cost us like 3 games.
Yeah,
no, absolutely. You know,
like, those missed field goals are just it's tough. And even like not going to say we're going to come back against New England, but for that guy to AJ Green to come out of bounds, back in bounds, mm-hmm. touch the ball, like that's high school stuff.
Yep.
You mm-hmm. know, and same like getting kicks blocked consecutive games, that's high school stuff.
Consecutive kick attempts.
You know, and yeah, there's got to be lava on his seat, man.
It's
like
worrisome for Cade York because he's a rookie, and I would hate to see. Because he's got such potential.
Yeah.
Hate to see his confidence get wrecked in year one and then him not be able to recover from it.
We've said this a million times, too, is, well, one, I don't want to move off from him too quick because we've seen some of these other kickers we've moved off of. Zane Gonzalez has had a really good career. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I don't want to move off of him too quick. That's not what I'm saying. Do what we got to do. I know it's probably tough because he's down coaching his kid with Trent Dilfer. But, man, get Phil Dawson up here for a couple weeks out of the year, for the home games, for something. Fly him up here once a week, and just to have him up here with working with Cade York in the stadium. Like, hey, we're gonna take Cade over to the stadium today. We'll fly you up on Tuesdays. I know we got a private jet. It's about a 4-hour flight. You can fly him up at 8 in the morning. He can be home for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and give him a check to do it. Because so he's been the only kicker in my life to kick for the Browns that's figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a resource. Do what you got to do to go get him. Man, I'd give him a blank check in use of the private jet. And say, you can come up and you can bring anybody you want with you. Bring the kids. You know, but just be at the stadium at noon, please. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like even like so players have to execute, but like even it just doesn't seem like they're just prepared at all. Even the punter yesterday just kicks one 5 yards.
Yeah, he had a bad game, and he's been good this year, but he had a bad game yesterday. Yeah. Thank God he only punted twice.
Yeah, it was not good, and it was just kind of like, I feel like, and maybe like we zone, like we lock in on it because, you know, we look for bad situations where like these guys have been so poorly, so anything that they do, we're like, look what they've done now, but I'm just like, it's a 15-yard punt. What the hell are we doing?
Here's the thing, though, is in our lifetimes, how many times have we seen that the Browns are playing well, and then we line up the punt, and we're like, okay, let's pin them deep here, and we shank it for 10 yards. It was literally a 10-yard punt.
Correct.
And then that gives – then they go down and score in like 3 plays.
Or get it blocked.
Or get
return it for a touchdown.
And all of a sudden, we're going, and all of a sudden, there's 10 minutes left, and it's only a 2-score game, and then we come out and go 3-and-out.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it's like, we're about to lose this game. We've lost that game. I think I sent it going into the fourth quarter when we were losing 25-0. I said, keep it on them because I've seen us lose this game before.
Oh, yeah.
Too many times. Mm-hmm. So it's the little things win you games and little things lose you games. We've Absolutely. Talked about the average margin of victory in the NFL, I think, is 4 points. Well, that's you know, a missed field goal is 3.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So little things are important in football. It's a game of inches. So if we need you to pin them deep, don't kick it out of bounds for a 10-yard. We should have just went for it.
Right.
You know what I mean? We were like, oh, good. We tried to get him to jump. Took the delay of game. Good. Stefanski's being smart. We're going to pin him deep. And it's a 10-yard punt. I mean, we might as well just gone for it.
Yeah, right.
It's crazy. One thing I want to touch on. He said he doesn't give credit to Joe Woods for the defensive performance last night. He thinks it's on the players. I think he called the plays, and we blitzed. And he was moving. Miles wasn't freelancing, moving around. He's being told where to go on the line. So you got to give Joe Woods, when credit's due, you got to give it to him. I thought he called a good game.
I agree. I was gonna touch on that exact thing. The players don't just decide what they're gonna do when they're on the field. There are plays that are called, you know, by Joe Woods, and he made the right calls.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. All right. So this last voicemail is from Mike.
We won last night. This is awesome. We seem to have Cincinnati's number, and I'm okay with it. We're the better team in Ohio. I know that for a fact. But, yeah, we won. We broke the losing streak. We go into a bye week. Hopefully, we can get our act together and continue on this somewhat of a winning streak. We got a tough road ahead, but I think we finally can get our act together and start winning actual football games. Stefanski started running the ball better, so that's nice. I hope he continues that trend because I know he likes to be a genius and have stupid plays like throw the ball to Amari Cooper or toss it and have him throw an interception. But hey, you know, Browns being Browns, right? I'm still happy. I'm not happy yet, though. We still have a long way to go. We have a chance to make the playoffs. still blows my mind that we could be potentially 5-2, 6-1, dare I even say 7-0. Who knows? But hey, go Browns, Firewoods, and Prefer at the end of the season. Let's go.
We couldn't be any of those records, by the way, because none of what he said adds up to 8.
Well, and he also said, I'm happy, but I'm not happy yet. So he might have just called in right after the game.
Yeah, we appreciate those kinds of calls. The one thing I want to touch on, Cleveland's so much better in Cincinnati. Everything. Baseball, the Guardians are one of the best-run organizations in baseball. The Reds are always garbage.
Yeah.
The Browns, I know the Bengals have had success, but they can't beat us.
Yeah.
We shit on them all the time. And then just it like existing, we're so much better.
Their fans suck. You guys all suck. I hate all of you.
They're a little bit better than like Pittsburgh and Ravens fans, but I watch them like turn on each other like mid third quarter. They're like, Joe Burrow's he's awful. I don't even hear. And I'm just like,
I probably shouldn't even say this on the Browns podcast. But in the AFC North, the Steelers fans are like, in my opinion, the least annoying.
Oh, you're crazy. I disagree with you. Oh,
man, I've got into it with Steelers.
That's a fight right there because that's a three-way tie, I think.
They all suck. It's rough because Steelers
Baltimore
fans,
and Pittsburgh are by far the worst.
You can't look at Pittsburgh fans and say anything without them being like,
Six rings. Sit down, sister.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Maybe I just don't know that many Pittsburgh fans.
Yeah, well, the Ravens fans are super.
Well, they ain't saying crap this year, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Quiet in Steel Town.
Yeah, it's very quiet.
So a couple things I wanted to mention, not in the voicemails, just real quick before we get out of here. After the win last night, Browns' win chance to make the playoffs tripled from 6% to 18%.
Okay.
So you're saying there's a chance. We come out and beat Miami. That's going to go up even more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool to see. I think one guy we need to talk about is somebody we didn't think was going to play at all this year is Ethan Posick.
Yeah,
he's a beast.
He is balling out this year. Ethan Posick was the highest graded overall player according to PFF on the Browns last night. 94 overall grade, 84.1 pass blocking grade, 92.0 run blocking grade. Does he need extended, or are we just waiting for Nick Harris to get back? Did Nick Harris lose his job? I think you got to say Nick Harris lost his job.
I think he's doing his best Wyatt Teller impression right now.
I think
sign him.
You get guys that have heart and decent talent, and Bill Callahan turns them into stars.
Yes,
and gets them rich.
I was watching the game last night, and they were talking about how the Bengals had spent money to revamp their line and how they were still not performing. And all I could think was, well, get yourself a Bill Callahan.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
Because he turned a walkthrough in a parking garage with Blake Hance, and he turned Blake Hance into a serviceable lineman in 45 minutes before the game.
Right, yep.
You know what I mean? Crazy. So, I guess Bill Callahan's don't grow on trees. He might be, like, the single most important coach outside of Stefanski on this entire staff.
Agreed. Yeah, he's awesome.
Him because, and Stump. I think he's got to get a little bit of credit too, but I'm with you. I think that was so important getting him.
I mean, he's probably going to be a Pro Bowler. At least he's got a shot to be a Pro Bowler, and we signed this guy to be a backup to Nick Harris. You know what I mean? So that is crazy. I thought Grant Delpit had his best game. JJ3 had his best game. And then we already talked about Taki. And how about Martin Emerson?
Yes.
He's a
remember when
too.
Everybody said I was stupid?
Yeah.
You guys are stupid.
I mean, Denzel Ward is still in concussion protocol, and there's a chance he might not play football. I mean, I'm not hearing those talks, but he can't get out of concussion protocol. This is just, it's not good.
And well, if he has another concussion too, right? Like, that's where you got to be really concerned for his health. And then that's probably why they drafted him. But getting back to, like, drafting him, that guy hits. He's physical.
Very physical. You know?
And that's one of the things they said about him in the draft.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a steal there. Mm-hmm. If he keeps ascending.
I think we remember in the draft report, too, they said Texas A&M played him out of position.
Yes.
He's a great press man coverage corner, and they were making him play a lot of zone. But he was, I think, the highest-rated press man corner in the SEC.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's like Joe Woods got confused and was like, well, he played a lot of zone in college, so maybe that's what we'll keep doing. No. Let this guy do what he does because he's looking like – if you did the draft now, he's probably a high second-round draft pick, if not late first.
Well, he wants it too. Like, I mean, I don't know if you guys hear all the hype on him, but he's like, I want the best receiver.
Yeah.
Like, I want it right now. Like in the Chargers game, when they turned it down on 4th and 5, he wanted the receiver. I can't remember who it was.
Mike Williams.
Mike Williams was the best receiver they had at that point because of injury, right?
Yeah. Correct.
And he took him.
Yep.
You know?
So he's got dog in him. And I mean, I know Greedy got Moss, but he also got pushed, but he was in coverage. Mm-hmm. He didn't play a lot in the first half. It all goes with pressure. If these guys aren't being forced to cover for 4 seconds, everybody looks better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So just keep blitzing, keep bringing the pressure.
I got something if you don't
go
get
ahead.
Something.
Go ahead.
How nervous are you guys that Perrion Winfrey was a healthy scratch last night?
What's
going on?
Yeah, that's
what's
weird.
Up with this kid? Like, what's going on with him? Is there some...
I think you're starting to see why he was taken where... Why he kept falling.
Yeah, I think
there's
right.
some extra stuff going on the side, or I mean, it's because nothing gets out, which is good. You don't want that.
There's clearly issues in terms of like behavior.
Correct. Yeah,
because he was punished by the team, and then he didn't dress or something like that. I think this is probably the second or third time he's been a healthy scratch.
Yeah. I think you're right.
And we're
weak there.
Yes,
we're so weak.
He can't get on the field. So that's, I mean, that's concerning. That's the kind of thing like he might not be on the team next year. Like
yeah, might be I think so. For fourth round, like, do you really want to deal with this all the time?
Yeah,
like,
you'll just cut him. Yeah. So that's maybe can you try to trade him? Somebody had, but he fell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you took him in the fourth. We might get, what, a seventh? If we're lucky, cash considerations, do they do that? Is that just the MLB? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, like, some new vending machines?
Yeah, you got to listen to the guy. Like, he's like, oh, I'm a dog. I'm going to work like a dog. I'm like, you got to show up to practice. Yeah. That's how you work like a dog, man. Show up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, anything else you guys want to touch on? We all good?
I think so. It's awesome that Kenny made it down.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, man.
Some people are actually going to listen to me talk about the Browns. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Very
excited. I've been missing out.
I know we talk about it a lot when I do the intros, but the Patreon is a really cool place. We get people on the after-hour shows. Kenny's been on there before. We got him in town tonight. He got to come on the main episode. But we just got to meet people from all over. And I actually met Kenny just because I used to join Facebook groups when we first started out and ask if I could post our videos in their Facebook groups. And he was one of the guys. And then we just, ever since, we've been rocking together. So it's awesome to have Kenny Mack in the house. Hopefully this isn't the first time. I know we all
last time.
Yeah,
it is the first time. It's
the first time, not the last time.
I know we all want to get up to Canada sometime, so that's definitely on my bucket list.
Come on down.
So again, awesome to have him in studio. Let us know what you guys think. Be nice. No, I'm just joking. Kenny was awesome. It was nice of John to wake up and be here today after being off. So thank you guys for listening. Big win for the Browns. Kept the playoff chances alive. Again, if you want to get your voicemails or your interest on the show, thedogspodcast.com, tap leave voicemail. And one last time, if you want to become a Dog Pack member, jointhedogs.com. Come hang out with us. Come hang out with Kenny Mack and other Browns fans from all over the world. Bye week this week. We will see you guys next week when we preview the Dolphins game. And to all you Dog Pack members, we'll see you guys on the after hours shows. And have a good week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.